Psalms 92. Oh, we're so blessed around here. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. What do you mean, preacher? Singing praises to the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Psalms 92. What a beautiful psalm. I want to read the entire psalm together. It begins by mentioning a good thing. And so Psalms 92, when you find that, let's all stand to our feet. Psalms 92 and verse number 1, Psalms 92, and the very first verse. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful words. And Lord, as we kind of preach down through this psalm, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, dear Lord. I feel like the church is there. I really do. I think we got there early this month. I just feel like, dear God, you kind of baptized us with a special anointing of a thankful heart and an awareness. And Lord, I just want to build on that foundation a little bit. But Lord, especially this week as we enter in Thanksgiving, dear God, I just pray that we will constantly bombard heaven, Lord, with thanksgiving to you for all that you mean to us and all that you are to us. And Lord, every way possible that we can come up with, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that we'd find ways to express our thankfulness to you and, Lord, that you would be pleased and exalted. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, church, for standing. I mentioned this about a week ago, but this is the first message, so let me kind of review the story. I decided that on our marquee out there on the church sign, I would want to put some kind of verse about thankfulness. And so the Lord led me to Psalms 92, verse number 1. And I thought I'll put the first part of that verse on our sign. Psalms 92:1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And while I'm putting these words on the sign, I get to the two words, good thing. And all of a sudden I stop and take a step back and just look at those two words. And I said to myself, you know, if God says something is a good thing, then it is a good thing. And I began to, as I finished up putting the sign up, I began to think about that and thought, I wonder how many times that's found in the Bible where God specifically identifies or describes something as a good thing. And so later on that week, I sat down and I kind of used my computer program and I put in that phrase and I began to search it through the scripture. And boy, my heart was blessed. And Lord willing, we'll preach on Sunday nights through the rest of November and then into December and then probably even into January a little bit. It'd be a good way to even start the new year, being reminded of the things that God calls a good thing. And of course, I felt very strongly, of course, the leading of God to start out by saying this, giving thanks. Giving thanks is a good thing. Amen. Giving thanks is a good thing. I love the Thanksgiving season. I do. I love what it does for my heart. I mean that. I love what it does to my soul. I love what it does for my stomach. I just love Thanksgiving. Come on now. I got to some of your level right there. Finally, I couldn't get an amen, and then you get carnal around Blessed Hope, and all of a sudden people wake up. I love it all. I love it all. How many are pumpkin pie? All right, you got two choices, pumpkin or pecan. You can't choose them both. Let's go. No, you can't choose. No, come on, brother. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, there's always these guys that like a tie. I don't like a tie. I like somebody to win and somebody to lose, all right? So how many are pumpkin people over pecan? Are you serious? I should put my hand down. I can eat a slice of pumpkin pie about once every 3 years, but it's just not mine. How many pecan pie? Come on. These are the ones close to the Lord, right with God. And it is a good thing to give thanks for pecan pie. It is. And you know what? I don't think you can lose on either one, though. And it seems like a Thanksgiving that doesn't include both maybe isn't a Thanksgiving. But anyway, we'll look forward to all that. And that's all a part of the memories. And I mean that. I always say that God suspends all the verses on gluttony for one day every single year. And I don't think that's probably right. But anyway. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's enjoy family. Let's look for opportunities to be a blessing. And let's make this a super sweet time of year. It's a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks. Let me just say a quick things in introduction here. Thankfulness is an act of giving. Now notice that it is a good thing to give thanks. We can't pass up that word give. You know, I was thinking, God has given so much to us. And you know, what do I give to an all-sufficient God? I mean, really, you think about it. What can you give God that he does not have? I can't buy a big enough present. I can't give enough money. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the gold and silver in every mine. I mean, you know, if you think about it, we can kind of have to come empty-handed to God. But there are a few things that the Bible tells us that he delights in. There are a couple things that he gives us, writes down for us in the scripture that is something that he loves to get. And one of those things is thanksgiving. Think about that. You can't have thanksgiving without the word giving. And so thankfulness is an act of giving. It's an opportunity for me to give something to God that he delights in. So remember that, young people. Anytime you bow your head with a thoughtful heart, you know, we can say things with our lips and not, and our mind can be, come on, vain repetition. I remember I tell the story about years ago, you know, I'd have a different one of the girls lead prayer sometimes at the table, and I felt like every one of them, all three of them, had kind of fallen into this memorized, as soon as you point at me, I'm going to say these same three things, and I don't know whose turn it was, but all of a sudden the Lord just told me stop. And I stopped, interrupted in the middle of the prayer. I said, look up here, I'm not upset with any of you. Dad gets into that mode sometimes. But I said, the easiest thing in the world is just to rattle off memorized prayers and really not think about what we're saying and it really not coming from our heart. Come on, folks. That's no different than the Catholics that pray out of their prayer book and don't think a thing about it. Of it. Vain repetition is something we all can fall into. And so, you know, I said, let's slow down. Let's put some thought in it. Let's make sure it's coming from our heart. And I think that's good for all of us to hear from time to time. So thankfulness is an act of giving. Notice what it says right after that in verse number one. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now, singing praises unto the Lord is a wonderful thing, an important thing, and I think an important part of worship. Now, folks, I want you to think a bit. Were you feeling what I felt a minute ago? I mean, think about that. We had the children come up, and all I could do was say, how blessed we are. And then we had the teen girls come up, and I thought, my goodness sakes, if we get any more teen girls around here, we're going to have to open that door. Some of them will be singing outside. So open that door. They'll be singing in the hallway. Or maybe we'll make two lines. I don't know. But, we're blessed. I want to show the church something. And I also want to do this for a very important reason. But I want you to think about this. If you're involved in any capacity, in any way, in the church of a singing ministry. I'm not talking about instruments right now. We'll talk about that in a minute, but a singing ministry. What I mean by that is you're part of a choir, the church choir, or you're part of the youth singing groups, or you're in the children's choir, or any time. And I'm not talking about congregational singing at this point. I know we're all a part of that. But if you're ever, in any time in 2025, have an opportunity to be up on the stage and to sing praises unto the Lord, would you stand? Would you stand right now? Now, aren't we blessed, folks? Stay standing for just a minute. What do you think about that? Listen, I love this. I love this. I love this. You know, it's an important thing to offer thanks to the Lord through our singing. And the Bible talks about this matter of singing praises here unto the Lord. Now, I will say this, not every song that's sung is a praise song. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be. I can take you to other places that the Bible tells us there's other things that God enjoys hearing. But I will tell you this, above any other type of singing, praise singing is the most mentioned in all the Bible. And, you know, I think as our choir prepares and as you pick out songs in this next upcoming year, you know, stop and think, am I singing this song because I like it and I enjoy it? And sometimes we do, come on. But I think maybe more than importantly than that, am I singing this, choosing this song because I think the Lord will enjoy it? You know, folks, I'll just talk about her because we heard it this morning. But Sister Rachel Biber sang a praise unto the Lord. I mean, tell me the song again. What was it? To God Be the Glory. I mean, I don't know how you could not say that that was a song that's purpose was to uplift our hearts and to bring praise to the Lord. And so let's make sure a good portion of our songs around here, maybe the majority of our songs around here, are songs that are bringing praise unto the Lord. And by the way, thank you so much. I mean, God loves it. Let's make sure we're doing it with a pure heart. Amen. Okay, let's make sure we're not up here performing. Amen. You know, this is an American Idol. Amen. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody come into the church and they clamoring for an opportunity to get a microphone, and I sense in their eagerness, it's not really about them bringing praise to the Lord, but they want to showcase, come on, their talent. Those are the people that don't end up on the singing list. Did you hear me? You know, now if you want to sing and you can sing and you want to sing for the right reason, then I think it's a wonderful way to serve the Lord. But at the same time, folks, let's make sure that when we're singing, we're doing it for the Lord. Amen. We're doing it to bring praise and honor to Him. We're not doing it so that people can do.
Sometimes we need to,
that happens when you don't put enough slack into it, okay? Sometimes, what was I saying? Sometimes you need to drop your microphone. I lost track of whatever where I was, but well, just make sure that as we're doing this, that we're doing it in the right way to bring praise to the Lord and honor to the Lord. And by the way, let's do our best. Okay, let's not try to get up here and wing it. I just look right up here. There's way too much of this last second stuff. Okay, all right, I love you and I appreciate it. And I know many of you can pull it off, but at the same time, you know what? I think God deserves our best in this area. And so I just want you all to look around and let's be glad. Come on, church. You know how many pastors are pastoring a handful of people somewhere? And honestly, if their family doesn't provide special music, there is never a special in their church. That's all over the country, Brother Nichols. He knows. And for us to be this blessed, that's a wonderful thing. And I just want to say a huge thank you to those that stir my heart and refresh me by singing the right kind of songs in the right kind of way. And so thank you so much. You can be seated. That's awesome. Well, I started to say that one of the reasons, and every once in a while we'll get a new group in, and I kind of need to get you to understand why we don't or why we do certain things. But folks, listen to me. We don't clap around here. We don't clap for people after they sing. Did you hear what I said? We don't clap for who? People after they sing. Why? Because clapping for someone after they're singing is saying to them, you know, that's putting the praise on them. That's putting the attention on them. What do you hear instead? You hear amen. You hear hallelujah. Those are being said to God. Okay? And you know, I don't think clapping's always wrong, but I just wanted to kind of share with you, there's a reason we don't do some things and reasons we do some things, and those reasons are founded on the scriptures. And the one thing I don't want to ever do is get people, come on, if we're not careful, next thing you know, it's all about the applause of men instead of the glory of God. And so maybe that'll help you. And then it goes on down in verse number 3, and this is introduction. We're already in trouble. But if you look at verse number 3, notice this. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp, with a solemn sound. And so it's talking about bringing praise to the Lord, showing forth his loving kindness, showing forth his faithfulness. How do we do that? By giving thanks. How do we do that? By singing praise. How do we do that? Upon an instrument. We can also bring praise and glory to God. I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for our singers, but I'm thankful for those that are either part of the music program as far as instrumentalists, or they are in training to be able to fulfill that in the future. And again, let's just start with piano, because I want you to see this. How many of you either are involved in piano playing right now for some type of special music? Let's start with that group, okay? You're already involved, you already play the piano, either for a congregation or for some of the specials or for the children's choir, for the teen choir, for the adults. How many of you play the piano at some point for some special music? Would you stand at this time? Look at that, folks. Look at that. Amen. Look at that. Now, watch this. Let's not take this for granted. Let's not take it for granted. By the way, we got some of the younger ones that are standing right now because they're starting to play offertories. And maybe I didn't make that clear. If you're playing an offertory on Wednesday night with piano, would you? Yeah, Abram. I thought I might have left out a few. And so they're either actively playing for a group or congregational or an offertory, or they are kind of in training to do more of that in the future. Now, again, I promise you, church, I've been a few places. I mean, I've been in churches where they're singing a cappella. There's nobody there to play the piano. When I started the church in Brazil, Indiana, for the first almost 3 years, we sang every congregational song without a piano player. Don't you think this preacher appreciates piano, our piano people? And thank you so much. Now, let me have you do this. I'll have this group sit down. That might be, no. Let me have you stand back up. How many of you haven't got up here yet because we're trying, you know, to protect our ears, but you are in the process of taking piano lessons, would you stand? I'm kidding about that. I'm sure you're ready. I'm sure you're ready. You could do it tonight. You want to do it tonight? No. Tonight? No, okay, they're not ready yet. Mary? No, I don't want to ask Mary. She would try it. And you know Mary. She would say, no, she's going, no, preacher, don't put me up there. But look at this. Now let's kind of think about this for a minute, okay? Well, preacher, we got enough people playing the piano. Well, you don't know if you'll always be here. You don't know where God will take you. You may end up one of these days in the will of God in a church, and you're the only piano player there. I've had many, many preachers. Preacher, please keep producing piano players. I mean, I'm glad we produce people that are going to preach, and I'm glad we produce people that are in full-time service, but I'm also thrilled we're producing piano players. And for every piano teacher, I mean, you talk about a ministry. I think that's something that is honestly a labor of love, and it's not something that's easy to do. But I'm going to tell you something. I think about the people that are willing to invest a portion of their life in training the next generation of piano players. Let me tell you something. God bless them, folks. And many of you could say the reason I'm able to stand is because of Sister So-and-so or this lady or this Christian lady that's teaching me piano right now. And you be sure to thank them. Hey, come on, we're talking about Thanksgiving. You be sure and thank them, okay? And now, how about other instruments, all right? Preacher, I don't play the piano, but I'm playing some other instrument. Let me have all the piano players sit down, because I know some of you are doubling up, all right? So, okay, preacher, whether you play the piano, don't play the piano. I want you to stand if you play some other instrument that you use for the Lord or plan on using for the Lord. Taking lessons right now with an instrument that you're planning to use for the Lord down the road. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Is that it? Drew, you don't play anything but piano? You don't play? What do you play?
Piano.
That's it? Okay, he's shaking his head. Yeah, that's it. All righty. So what do you play? What do you play? Violin? What do you play? All right.
Violin?
Trumpet, French horn. What are you attempting to learn? Guitar and? All right. It's not electric guitar. Okay, but good. All right. Violin. Amen. You know, it talks about that playing upon the harp, upon the string instruments, about pound the psaltery. These are all instruments that emphasize, folks, the melody, okay? Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Psalms, hymn, and spiritual song can be greatly used from the Lord. Now, let me have you be seated and everybody look up here. Hey, what a great challenge for 2027. Hey, young person, what about you? What about you? Come on, guys. What about you? It's not just a girl thing. What about you? I want you to prayerfully consider this. I really mean this. You know, the other night, I think it was you and Ella that came over here, and she played the piano and he played the violin. I don't know about you, but my heart was blessed by that. And we can have these opportunities, and we want to use these people that are dedicating themselves to learning an instrument. Come on. Why? So that they can use it to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so that's the longest invitation I've had, or invitation, introduction. It's not the longest invitation, but introduction that I've had in a long time. But folks, thankfulness is an act of giving, and it's amazing how immediately God ties. Singing is an act of praise. Godly music is an act of worship. And so if you're giving thanks and offering praise and while you're doing that, worshiping the Lord, that just sets the right kind of environment. And so folks, listen, let me just, one more thing before we leave music. Let's not get off track on this. Okay, let's not get off on track on this. One of the things I want to warn the church about, warn the young people about, sometimes if you're not careful, you go and find some, you know, contemporary Christian music or some Christian rock, and then you want to come and sanitize it so you can sing it in here. You know what? Let's stick with the tried and true, proven, come on, songs that have stood the test of time. And there are new songs that are written in every generation that we can use, but let's make sure that they're the right kind of music that is not, come on, a mimicking of the American Idol mentality of standing up and praising the Lord. But honestly, they stick to a traditional conservative approach to music in our churches, and I think that's a wonderful and safe place. Now, you say, preacher, all right, now let's get into the message. Don't worry, I'll fast forward it. You're going to be amazed at how quick this goes. Or you're going to be amazed that it didn't go quicker, one of the two. But I wrote down this. Why is it a good thing to give thanks? Why is it a good thing to give thanks? I don't think we could go outside this psalm to get the answer to that. We could go all over the Bible and probably come up with 100 reasons why it's a good thing to give thanks. But I think this psalm already gives us plenty. How about this, verse number 2? Because of God's loving kindness. Because of his loving kindness. To show forth thy loving kindness. Now, think about that. I love those two words. I saw this about 2 or 3 years ago where I'm doing my devotions, you know, and you start slowing down, you start looking at the words, and all of a sudden, loving kindness. And I've never stopped and thought about a word, obviously, that is a compound word. It's made out of two words. And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, God's just not kind, and he's just not loving, but his kindness flows from the fact that he loves us. Now, folks, there's different kinds of kindness. Okay, think about this. There's different kinds of kindness. There's obedient kindness. Okay, think about that. Sometimes we're kind to someone, you know why? Because God commanded us to be. You know, I always tell the story, I won't go into it, but you know, I went out there and decided to have a kindness revival, and the kids, I made them fill out a form at the end of every day of three things they either said or done that was kind. Well, can I tell you this? For most of them, that was obedient kindness. Okay, they're doing it because pastor is commanded them to, and they hopefully understood the Bible commands us to, and it's okay to obey for the sake of obeying, but God doesn't offer us an obedient kindness. And then I wrote down this, selfish kindness. You know that it's possible to have a selfish kindness? What do you mean, preacher? Where you go over and all of a sudden you're kind to somebody? Why? Because you want something from them? Because you're trying to work them somehow? Because you're trying to get something from them? And so you can be kind and it be a selfish kindness. There can be you can even have an insincere kindness. Where, you know what, the honest truth is, you're being kind, but in your heart, it's filled with unkindness towards that person. Right. You ever seen somebody just put on the fake little, like, you know, and they're gushing over you, and you know for a fact that 3 days earlier they'd said something mean and nasty about you, you know? And you're kind of like, I'm sorry, that may be kindness, but it's insincere kindness. Now listen, God doesn't have anything to do with any of that. When I thank God for his kindness, it's always loving kindness. You know why? Because his kindness flows from a heart of love. Hey, let's ask God to help us to mimic that. I want to show people kindness, and I want the motivation for that kindness to be the fact that I love them in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So it's a good thing to give thanks. Why? Because of God's loving kindness. Look in verse 2. He also mentions God's faithfulness. And thy faithfulness every night. By the way, if you acknowledge God's loving kindness in the morning, you may also then stand witness to his faithfulness by nightfall. I think the one is connected to the other there. Now, I appreciate God's faithfulness. I just want to say it. I want to spend some time this week thanking God just for being faithful. And folks, one of the greatest attributes of God is that you can count on him. He is faithful. I have not always been faithful to him, but he's always been faithful to me. And I think faithfulness is something that we ought to express thankfulness about, not just to God, but here's a quick Thanksgiving challenge as God brings it to your mind. You know, think about this. What if we just decided sometime this week we're going to text somebody real quick or call them real quick and just thank those who have been faithful. There's something about people that are faithful. And to me, they're deserving of our thankfulness. They really are. You know, think about this. Maybe we ought to stop some of the folks that have been married, come on now, and stayed together, been faithful to each other. And I'm not talking about for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. And I'm talking about for 40 years and 45 and 50 and 55. And we have people in this church 60 years faithful together. Let me tell you something. I want to say this in front of everybody. Thank you for the example that you're giving our young people. Thank you for the example that you're giving our young couples in this church. I'm going to tell you something. That challenges me. And to thank people for their faithfulness in marriage, in service to the Lord. Again, we have folks all over this church that's been doing the same job every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for 20 years, for 25 years, for 30 years, for 35 years, some for 40, some for 50 years. They've just plugged in, and you know what? They started 50 years ago, and by the grace of God, they're still faithful in that area of service. Hey, I'm sorry, but that deserves an extra level of thankfulness. In marriage, in service, faithful in their spirit. Thankful in their spirit. This may be one of the hardest things for us to accomplish is just to be consistent and faithful in having the right kind of a spirit. And thank you. I understand we've all been tested. I understand nobody, you know, scores 100% in this all the time. But I'm going to tell you, there's folks in this church that I just count on it. I can just count on it. They're not going to be down this week and up the next week. They're not going to be, you know, happy and content 1 week and then grumbling and upset the next week. You know what? They just consistently come in with the right spirit, the right attitude, and they are such an example to the rest of us. Praise the Lord for that. And I want to say also thankfulness and faithfulness in this matter of giving. And you know what, folks? There's no other way for me to do it except this because, you know, The Bible says that giving is a very private thing. The Bible says even the right hand shouldn't know what the left hand is doing. I can say this, folks, I don't know who gives what at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I chose that years ago. I could, if I wanted to as pastor, I could actually do it based on biblical mandate if I chose to and use the verse that I need to take the oversight. I could do it. I choose not to. You know why? Because I don't want my preaching ever affected by who gives what. Okay? And I don't want the way I treat people to be based on who gives what. But I will tell you this. This thing doesn't run for all these years. You know, we're going into our 53rd year. This thing doesn't run all these years without people that have been consistent and faithful in bringing their tithes and offerings every week. We're not able to support all these missionaries back there if it's not faithfulness in this area of giving. We just couldn't do it. And so the only thing I can do is say, you know who you are. And let me just say this from a pastor's heart. Thank you for being faithful when it comes to your tithes, your offering, your the areas you step up when you're asked to give sacrificially. Thank you for doing that, because everything that happens in this place doesn't happen if that doesn't happen. And so thank you for that. And then verse 4 and 5, David begins to talk about God's great works. Think about that. Two verses he says here in chapter 92. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. How did he make him glad? Through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hand. So David said, even when I win a victory, I understand whose hand allowed me to win the victory. Then he says in verse 5, O Lord, thou art great. O Lord, how great are thy works! Exclamation point. And thy thoughts are very deep. And so, again, I think it's a good thing to thank the Lord for his great works, his great works. I love his creation. I love God's creation. I will tell you, this is something from a very, very young age that I believe that I understood, I got. I want to thank a preacher that probably preached it and Sunday school teachers that probably taught it and mom and dad that set the example in it. But I've always been a kid of the hills and hollers, and I love the outdoors more than I love the indoors. And I spent a lot of time in my life out in God's creation. It's good for my heart. It's good for my soul. It's good to look. It's good to notice. Even as we go about our lives, folks, just stop every once in a while and just look at God's great works. Hey, you know what? The devil has tried to produce a lie about where all this came from. And he's got a bunch of devils, some of them teaching in the public school system. Yeah, that's what I said. That are undermining the faith of young people by trying to convince them that all this just happened somehow. And you know what? I just want to say this. Thank God for his creation, for his mighty works. I mean, folks, next time you look around, just think about this. I mean, in 6 days, God spoke all of this into existence. This is amazing what he did. Hey, you don't think that's a big deal? What have you accomplished in the last 6 days? Did you create any planets? Come on, did you create worlds? Did you create the sun and the moon and the stars? Okay, most of you just created chaos. I mean, you know. But God created all this in 6 days. Stood up onto nothingness and spoke into everything that we enjoy. And he created it so that it would all be there. Come on, think about this. All be there for our benefit and for our good pleasure. And whether it's things that we bring from creation that allows us to enjoy the things that we have. I mean, everything that a man makes, he must go out into creation and get the raw materials for him. God stockpiled this world with things that would be a blessing to us. And so thank God for the works of his hands, the works of creation, the work in the hearts of men. Wow. You know, I thank God that God's still working in men's hearts. I thank God that God's still changing men and changing women and changing families and changing marriages. I love that. I'm so thankful that God could come into somebody's life, like we mention it from time to time. Maybe it's one of the examples around here that we saw. But he can come into the heart of a man like Ron Allen and absolutely change that man from honestly being kind of a, let me just say it, kind of a mean, ornery cuss that had no use for God and had no use for people, and turned him by salvation and grace, turned him into one of the kindest, sweetest men. And, you know, you think about him coming in at the beginning, visiting the church drunk. And then next thing you know, Dad's got him to be the head usher, meeting people at the back and welcome. Listen, the works of God are great. And the work that he does in each of our hearts, in each of our hearts. And then I just want to say, thank the Lord for his working in my own personal life. Because, folks, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I don't want God ever to stop working on Jerry Ross. There's so much more that he wants me to be. There's so much more that he wants me to be able to experience. And there's so much more he wants to mold me into so that I can be a vessel more perfectly used for his good pleasure. And so because of his great works. And then I won't go through all these verses because of time. But if you read down from verse 6 through 14, I want to just say this. We ought to thank the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord because of God's just dealings with men. I said God's just dealings with men. Folks, he goes into verse number 5, or I'm sorry, verse number 6, and all of a sudden it seems like we change gears. But if you go from verse number 6 down to verse number 14, he begins to talk about two types of people. He talks about what he calls the brutish man. How about verse number 6? He calls him a fool. He uses the word wicked in verse number 7. He says that they're enemies of God. These kind of people exist today. Oh, my goodness. I was just reminded of this. This came out several years ago. I almost decided to show it in church just to kind of put us on high alert. But I don't want to give God's or the devil's children too much attention. But, folks, there was a group of homosexual singers that came out here several years ago with a song that basically, the entire song was this: we are coming for your children. And they literally sang as a choir this song, alerting, come on, Christian people, guess what? We are coming for your children. We are going to do everything in our power to turn your children's heart and turn your children's life into the debauchery and the abomination that our life has become. And, you know, sometimes I watch something like that, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me not to get angry. It's hard for me not to start contemplating some way to wreak vengeance and wrath upon them. How do I get even with them? How do I stop them? And I think when I go through those things, God kind of just comes alongside and said, you think this is the first generation of perverts? You know, you don't think that in every generation there's been evil, wicked men and women? And by the way, that's not your concern. That's not your worry. I think one of the things we need to be reminded of, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I struggle with this. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes we're human. And I watch people living a wicked life and a life against God and a life that's being used to try to lure Christian people into wickedness and a life that blasphemes God. And I see all of this and I hear all of this, and yet it seems like that they're blessed, and it seems like that they're prospering. And it's even mentioned in verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do what? Flourish. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. And then it goes on to say this, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. And a lot of times God's mercy, let me say this, God's mercy does not bring judgment for a while. God's grace is extended to every single one of us, folks. And we're all sinners. And we all have times, come on, that we can look back and say, if it weren't for the God's mercy, he probably should have taken my life, the way I was living, the way I was acting, my attitude. And yet, you know what? God showed mercy on us, and aren't we thankful for that? And so God sometimes, you know, will allow people to seem like they're getting by with a lot. But I want to just remind you folks that, you know, this matter of dealing with the evil and the wicked and the brutish man, that's God's territory. You know, let me remind you what it says in Romans 12. Recompense no man evil for evil, Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, well, this is a good verse for all of us. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But then he says this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, Jerry Ross, set your wrath aside. The wrath of man doesn't accomplish the will of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, I won't take time to read all of this, but you know what God basically says when he talks about being just in dealing with men? He's saying this, I'll give them opportunity for repentance. I'll give them more than one opportunity. I mean, God's gracious. I'll give them a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. By the way, it's up to God. He may give them 100 chances because he is a merciful, graceful God. But at the same time, he be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, I don't want you to waste, listen to me, please listen, church. Don't waste any amount of your life bitter at those who seem to be getting by with living a wicked life. Well, this person did this to me or they did this to my family and it just seems like God's doing nothing about it. That's not none of your business. You give them to the Lord, put them in God's hands, and don't you let them have one minute rent up in your brain, and don't let that get into your heart where next thing you know you're full of vengeance and you want to extract some revenge on someone. You know what? Put that in God's hands, because this portion of scripture assures us that God will not only take care of those that are doing wrong and are unrepentant in that, but verse 12 and 13, he's also going to be a God who rewards those that are living right. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. By the way, thank you. Thank you, parents that are planting your children in the house of the Lord. Amen. What will they do? They shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So God says, God is not a God who is going to be unjust in his dealing with men. If somebody needs judgment, that's God's business. If somebody needs reward, that's God's business. And so thank him that he's the one that deals justly with men. And then we'll finish up in verse number 15. Watch this. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is God's, I believe, solid rock character trait. Preacher, if you were to say that God has a solid rock character trait based on scripture, what would it be? That he is upright, that he is righteous. Think about that. His uprightness and his righteousness, I believe, is the foundation upon which all of his other character traits find foundation. And so think about that. God is upright. God is righteous. What's it say there? There is no unrighteousness in him. And so maybe I could remind all of us is this. There's a lot of reasons to live a righteous life. Maybe the most important reason is that it is our way of thanking the Lord for all that he's done for us. Let's remind all of us of this, okay? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was talking to the Edens, and they have a background of coming through out of an apostolic church. And they said, preacher, you know what? So many of those people are so sincere, and in many ways they would dress the way we dress and strive to live righteously and strive to obey the commands of the Lord. But they said, it's so sad because their motivation for doing that is trying to get to heaven. Right. Yeah. You know, think about the Yoders that were saved out of the Amish. And I mean, folks, so many things about their lifestyle we can admire. Maybe we ought to better mimic. And they go out of their way to do these good works and to live by these laws and to try to live a life that's holy and separated, and we can admire that. But the sad part about it is they're trying to do that in order to gain entrance to heaven. Now, folks, what's the difference between what we believe and what they believe? Is that, you know what? We want to live a righteous life. Not because we're going to hell if we don't. Because it is our way to express our love and our appreciation to God. And that's no small difference. And so it's sad to see people that are caught up in work salvation because they're doing so many of the right things, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. And it's a wonderful thing to just settle the fact that you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that certainly doesn't give us a license to go out and live like the devil. Well, then what's the motivation? How about this? Thankfulness. Appreciation. I mean, we have as the bedrock foundational character trait of our God, righteousness. And if we want to live a godly life, let's try to live to the best of our ability with God's help. With God's help, let's try to live a life that says to Him every day, thank you for being who you are. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Giving thanks is a good thing. It's a good thing. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because if God says something's a good thing, then it's a good thing. Heavenly Father, thank you. Boy, we've experienced so much. Been here about an hour and 10 minutes. And our hearts have been blessed in so many ways. Thank you for the children. Thank you for these parents raising these little children to honor you and serve you. Thank you for all the ministries that invest in children. Our hearts were blessed. And then, Lord, thank you for our young people, dear God. And thank you for the song that we heard, Lord, from them. And, Lord, a sweet reminder of the fact that we ought to be thankful. It's a good thing. I will stand up and sing praise to the Father, for I know the Lord is good. Wow. Amen. May we do a little bit of that singing this week. I want to thank you for the talent that you've brought to this church and those that are willing to use it for the Lord. I'm so thankful for those that are presently being used in the instrumentals of our church, Lord, and those that are already preparing to be that next wave, that next generation. Lord, thank you, dear God, for all that you have blessed us with.